for prayer and for answered prayer. And many of you have been praying for my voice, and I'm rather encouraged because I've still got an almost normal voice, and it's the end of the day. And I was speaking to a friend on the phone a week ago, and he said to me, "What's wrong with your voice?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You sound hollow." I said, "That's not a compliment. Why would he say you're hollow?" Anyway, by the grace of God, my voice is better today than it was a week ago. And many of you have been praying, and I just want to say thank you. We rejoice in the good things the Lord has done for us. Let's just pray again. Lord, it's not us, it's you. And we thank you for all the good things that you've done for us. We continue to pray. And we had a lot of things on our prayer list tonight, Lord. And then all the other things that weren't on our prayer list, we've been praying for. In particular, Lord, I pray for the saints in Prince George. And Trevor and Leo were there, but they're really not part of Prince George. They're part of Mexicali. And frankly, the assembly needs them. And we've heard that Charlie Hawes has gone to heaven. We thank you for Charlie, Lord. He was a great blessing to the work of God in Prince George, but he's gone. Would you raise up those to fill his position, please? And we think, Lord, of so many other things that you have you've done, and we think of our needs so great. We pray that you'll come down and bless. We think of the assembly here, and our prayer is, Lord, that you will build us and make us fit for the work that is to be done. Strengthen us, help us, and bless. We pray, Lord, again, that you'll just be with the message this evening. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We sang that hymn tonight, The Wonder of It All. And you read the Bible, and as you read, you wonder, and you say, how could this book be? I've been studying a little bit in the book of Daniel, and I want to cover just a couple of quite disjointed thoughts from Daniel tonight, but maybe thoughts that would encourage your heart. There's the wonder of the fact that the prophecies of Daniel have already come true. The Bible is full of prophecy about tomorrow, but the Bible is also full of prophecy about yesterday. What's going to happen in the future, prophesied in the past and fulfilled in the past. How do we know that God is going to fulfill his prophecies tomorrow? Because he filled his prophecies yesterday. And just a few thoughts on that now, and we'll just sort of take them in no particular order. But you'll remember that in the book of Daniel, and you might turn there to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel's easy to find in your Bible. It's right after Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's really easy to find. So Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and just a couple of verses. verse number 37. Daniel 2, 37, and I've got the wrong verse in my notes here. So let's try another chapter 37. How about Daniel chapter? Isn't that? I'm embarrassed. Maybe it is chapter 2 and 37. The verse says, the verse is the verse that lists the names of the kings, that the countries that are going to follow Babylon. Somebody will find those verses for me. My brain isn't working as fast as it should. But you'll remember that Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, it's got to be. No, it doesn't have to be. It says, Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, after you will rise the nation of Persia. And after Persia will come Greece. How would he possibly have known in 550 years before Christ and a couple of hundred years, 100 years before the Persian Empire came up, 200 years or more before the Grecian Empire came up, how would he know that? Who's going to rule the world? What country's going to ruin the world in the year 2325, just 300 years from now? Which country is going to rule the world? You say, I don't know. We don't know where the power is going to be. But Daniel had it all picked out ahead of time. Chapter 11. See if we can find this verse properly. Chapter 11 and verse 3. Chapter 11 and verse 3. regarding after the kings of Persia, verse 2, a mighty king who will be from Greece. Verse 2 talks about Greece as well. Verse 3, and a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with the great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. All of which was fulfilled when Alexander the Great was king. And then when he died, the kingdom did not pass to his son, but it passed to his four generals. And this great kingdom is split four ways. How would Daniel have known that? When in fact it took place, what, 300 years later? Absolutely amazing. Let me give you a few more. In chapters 10 and 11, you have detail of what we consider to be the silent years. After Malachi, there's nothing written in our Bibles until Matthew. What happened in those silent years? And the chapters 10 and 11 of Daniel prophesy much of what's going to happen in those silent years. You and I read it, and it's awfully hard to understand the immense detail that's there. You sit back and you say, how could anybody possibly know all that detail? He goes on in chapter 9, and he talks in chapter 9, verse 26. See if I can find this. 9:26. He says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, and not for himself. How did Daniel know when the Lord Jesus Christ was going to die? The people who lived in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, they understood that that was just about the time when they were there. Sir Robert Anderson took the study of that particular line and said, Messiah will be cut off. And he calculated that this prophecy was fulfilled to the very day, not to the lifetime, not to the decade, not to the year, not to the month, but to the very day. How could anybody possibly prophesy something like that? And then the verse goes on, the people and the princes shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with the flood. How did he know that at that time, the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed? can you prophesy that 600 years in advance? Why do we believe the prophecy regarding tomorrow? Because the prophecy regarding yesterday came true. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Verse 9, the verse we just read, the prophecy of the coming of Messiah. We made some mention in one of our meetings a while ago about the abomination of desolation. How do we know that the abomination of desolation is going to take place in the future? Answer, because it took place in the past. The abomination of desolation in the days of Antioch, of Antiochus Epiphanes. It was in the temple in those days as a prefigurement of what's going to come in the future. You say, wow. Chapter 12. And verse 4. Chapter 12 and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. How did Daniel know that the end times were going to be associated with much travel to and fro, and knowledge increasing? I thought about this and I said to myself, you know, I probably have traveled more in my lifetime than almost all my forebears put together. Several of them went from Scotland to America and stayed, or to Canada and stayed there. Others came from England to Canada and stayed there. I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back. And why would Daniel have recorded such a thing? Who knew that knowledge would increase? How fast is knowledge increasing in the world right now? Well, because of artificial intelligence, knowledge is probably doubling every year. Okay, try to keep ahead of that. How did Daniel know that 2,600 years ago? And here was the answer that was promulgated very widely up until recently. And it goes like this. You can't believe the book of Daniel because it is so accurate that it must have been written after the fact. And instead of being written by Daniel 600 years before Christ, it was written maybe 50 years before Christ, after these things happened. That was the common explanation for the book of Daniel by many people in the world, including a lot of people who call themselves Christians. Amazing. This book's amazing no matter where you look at it. It's an incredible book. And it says things that you say, that could never happen. And yet the book of Daniel is full of things that he could never have prophesied. You remember what happened when he explained Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him. Back in Daniel chapter 2, he said, Daniel, would you please tell me what I dreamt the other night and tell me then what it means? Daniel says, sure, I'll do that. So he told him what he dreamt the other night and he told him what it meant. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? The king, the emperor of the world, fell down on his knees and worshiped Daniel. We better read it just so we realize what the truth of God does in the hearts of those who don't know him. Here we are, Daniel chapter 2, and verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worship Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. How much did he tell him? Just that little bit in Daniel chapter 2. Why would people reject the Bible? Certainly not because it isn't a wonderful book. It's an amazing book. So in a totally different theme, but along the same general line of the wonder of it all, there's a verse in the Bible, you can turn there, Proverbs chapter 24. Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 16, the first line simply reads this: a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And I asked myself as I read that verse, I just wonder if Daniel isn't the proof of that verse. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever say, I did what was right, and here I am, flat on my face. Everything's gone sour. What's this verse say? Keep going. A just man falls seven times. What's going to happen to him? He's going to rise up again. So let's check out the life of Daniel. You got a good memory? Here we go. Where did Daniel get started? Well, he got started in the land of Israel. And what was his position? Well, he was one of the princes. I'm not sure how close he was to the next king, but he was a prince. And that's kind of a high position. What happened? Well, Nebuchadnezzar came in, and he was reduced to nothing. He fell. He was a just man. He fell. What happened afterwards? Well, the Babylonians said, we think you might make a good student. And so he rises up and he goes off to school. He fell and he went up again. And so he's there as a student, and he's told that he's going to have to eat the food and drink the liquor that the king wants him to drink. And if not, basically, he's going to be kicked out of school. And he's a dropout. He's fallen again. And he prays. And the Lord answers his prayer. And he graduates valedictorian. And you say, it's amazing. A second time he fell, and what happens? He rises up again. This time he's valedictorian. And then you'll remember what happens. he's one of the counselors, and the king says, if you can't tell me my dream, we're going to kill you. And so he's right at the bottom again. He's on death row. And what's he do? He prays. And what happens after that? Well, the Lord answers his prayer and tells Nebuchadnezzar the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar falls down and worships him, and Daniel is promoted to the top. That's the third time, isn't it, that he went to the top. What happens after that? Well, Belshazzar is king. Where's Daniel? Is he at the top? No. Belshazzar's mother knows where Daniel is, but somehow Daniel got forgotten in his leadership, and he's down at the bottom. He's the used to be governor, but he's just in the shadows now. And he probably said, that's kind of hard. I went from being a senior to a junior in one short lifetime. I'm still a young man. I've been at the top, now I am at the bottom. Belshazzar's the king. What happens? He was forgotten, but you remember that his mother, Belshazzar's mother, promoted him. Well, said to Belshazzar, this man will tell you what that says on the wall. And so Belshazzar says, all right, I guess I've ignored you, but I won't ignore you anymore. You're the third ruler in the kingdom. How many times is that? Well, I take it that's four times. He's gone from the bottom to the top. So what happens a few hours later? In come the Persians, Medo-Persian army. And where's Daniel? Well, he's at the bottom now. He's one of the senior leaders in the country, and the other people come in. What's the first thing you do when you take over a country? You get rid of all the guys at the top. And so the sentence of normal political maneuvering is on him. And instead of him going to the bottom under Darius, Darius says, we need a good man, you can be boss again. So I think that's number five. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. What happens next? Well, the guys who are working for Daniel don't like it. So they persuade Darius to pass a law that says you can't pray to anybody else. And this man, Daniel, he doesn't just continue to pray. He leaves his windows open as he always did when he prayed, so everybody could know who he was praying to and when and where and how and why. And what happened to him? Well, he went to the bottom, actually to the bottom of the lion's pit. And what happened after that? Well, Darius said, you better come back to the throne. And all the guys who were plotting against him, where'd they go? To the bottom of the lion's pit. That's six times. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. So, see if we can find the verse now. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And verse 13, at the very end of the book, it says, but go thy way until the end be, for thou shalt rest, and then stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So what happened to him? He went to the bottom again when he died. And what happened after that? Well, he's going to stand in his lot in the end of the days, and he'll be like one of those shining as the stars in brightness forever and ever. I just thought that was interesting. A just man falls seven times and rises up again. Is that really true? Well, it was certainly true for Daniel. If it was true for Daniel, is it possible that it might be true for you? Could it be true for me? Have you ever been able to look back and see where things were pretty good, and then all of a sudden they weren't so good? And you thought, I thought everything was going to be, I was right up there at the top, and everything was going to be fine, and all of a sudden, clunk, and I'm down here at the bottom. And well, you often, when you get to the bottom, you don't feel very good, do you? If you don't get good, feel good, when you get to the bottom, would you remember Daniel? You keep trusting the Lord, and let him bring you to the top again. What's common about the two themes that I've been on tonight? God is good. God is powerful. God's doing what he's going to do. He doesn't make any mistakes. He can tell the future from the past as far as the world is concerned. I suppose he could tell the future from the past as far as I'm concerned, as far as you're concerned. And so we sing. And we sing the wonder of it all. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. I can understand how God loved Daniel. I can understand how God had to take a pretty firm lesson with Nebuchadnezzar. Hard to understand that God loves me. And if he could do a great work in Daniel and through Daniel, why, he could do the same for me. Don't be discouraged, Harold. Don't be discouraged, Christian. Keep smiling. Keep singing. Okay? Let the Lord fulfill his promises in your life too. And when you get to the end, you can count up. And you can say, it's true. Just man falls seven times. He gets up again. Hallelujah. Lord, just simple thoughts this evening. But they tell us that you're a good God. You were good to Daniel. And probably so brokenhearted on so many occasions. Wondering, whatever happened to God? Why would he allow this? But praise the Lord, you kept on raising him up again. And Lord, Daniel's looking forward to Judgment Day. And by the grace of God, we'd like to look forward to Judgment Day too, as you encourage us in those dark days and support us in the days when we have no help. Lord, we pray that you will cause us to rise up again. We think of the work of God at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. Each of us, Lord, individually a part of it. Collectively, you're doing a work. We pray that you will do a work in such a way that in the day to come, we will praise you and talk about the wonder of it all. How you saw fit to bless even the work at 16th. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.